Right. Well, the story last week, I think, was the difficulty that people are having just determining peaks in inflation rates and how much we can expect inflation to come back. And what really set the cat amongst the pigeons last week was the US CPI, where, you know, there was a pretty strong expectation we were going to get a very low CPI. In fact, it should have had a negative sign on the front of it because petrol prices had fallen so much in the US over the course of the month. What we got instead was a CPI which still had a positive sign on the front of it for the month, which is fairly much disastrous when you've got so much downward pressure coming through the petrol price side. We had plus 0.1%. That meant that the annual inflation rate in the US came at 8.3%. Yes, that's down from the 8.5% going back the month before, but you know, there's a fade on this now. It doesn't appear as if things are coming down particularly fast. And it was particularly so in the core reading. It was not just that, you know, we didn't get the power from the fall in petrol prices we expected. It was just that there was some fairly generalized inflation and everything else. So the core CPI was a bigger miss against expectations than the headline CPI. And the core CPI was up 0.6%. The market was looking for 0.3 on that, so it's double market expectations. And as a result of that, the core CPI is actually lifting still. It went up to 6.3% year-on-year from 5.9% year-on-year the month before. So, you know, that really was a bit of a shock to the system because what it meant is that analysts really still can't pick a peak on where the Feds will lift interest rates in the US. And quite a number of, some of the major companies were sort of lifting their Fed funds forecasts, whereas before they were looking for a peak around 4%. Now that peak is getting to 5% in their forecasts for some time next year. We had producer price inflation data came out as well. Not quite as big a miss on this one. In fact, the headline was about as expected. So in producer prices, petrol prices counted. And so that was down minus 0.1%. And the annual rate of change came down to 8.7 from 9.8. But again, in the core PPI, it was higher than expected. So the core PPI, once you take out food and energy prices, was up 0.4%. And that's 7.3% year-on-year. From 7.7% going back the month before. The core PPI is probably, we're resolving some of these supply side issues. The demand for goods has actually fallen in the United States. Where there's demand still in the US is very much for services. So it's about as good as it's going to get, the fall in the PPI at the moment. And if you're running 0.4s, you're going to be annualizing high fours to early fives. So that leaves an inflation rate, an ongoing inflation rate in the United States, which is well north of the Fed's 2% target and gives you an idea of sort of how much work they've still got to do. We've got some detail that, the US economy is slowing erratically in some of the other data. Still firm in parts, but largely a slowing trend going through. We could see that with some of the producer price index data for regional areas. So at this stage of the month, we get the first ones reporting, and that's always New York State, the Empire State, and also the Philadelphia Fed. And the September Empire State survey, it was very weak the month before at minus 31.3. That actually moderated to minus 1.5. So if anything, that one's not quite as weak as it was. The Philadelphia Fed one, though, which was at plus 6.2 going back the month before, that dived to minus 9.9, so you often get this sort of toing and froing between those two early readings, but broadly speaking, they are something of a softening trend. The labour market, though, is far from softening. We saw initial jobless claims the most recent week. They're getting down again. They were down at 213,000, which was lower than the market expected, down from 218,000 the month before. So that's consistent with non-farm payrolls, which will still be belting along at 350,000, 400,000 a month, and still putting pressure through the labour market back to the US inflation rate. We had retail sales came out for the month of August, They were up in the headline by 0.3%, a bit better than expected, after being down 0.4% on revision the month before. Core retail sales, though, were down 0.3% after being up 0.4%, so fairly much flatlining running through retail sales. And we also had September Michigan consumer sentiment. This has been down at a very low reading. It lifted a little bit for the most recent month to 59.5 from 58.2, but that's still actually quite a soft reading. This week in the US, well, the key thing is going to be the Fed. You know, they report on Wednesday, Thursday. We'll hear the result Thursday morning our time. And you know, they're almost obliged now to do 75 basis points at least. And some people are talking they may even do 1% at the FOMC meeting. So currently the Fed funds rate is 2.5%. It's either going to 3.25% or 3.5% by the time we get those rate changes coming through. And one of the factors there is, you know, the Fed, even when they do that big rate hike, still will have more work to do. We'll get their forecasts of where, you know, they see interest rates over the next 2, 3, and 4 years. But you know, they're going to be migrating north of 4%. So you know, these are getting higher over time. We'll get some other data coming out, but it's largely to do with housing this week, plus the manufacturing PMI, services sector PMI towards the end of the week. The housing data, you know, you'd expect this to be soft. So all of these readings are going to be on the soft side, as they are in most advanced economies now. You know, that's what happens when interest rates go up. Housing takes it in the neck. And it's certainly happening in the US, even though the US is largely a fixed rate market, a long-term fixed rate market. Yeah, the pressure on those interest rates is starting to count. And so we've got the September National Association of Home Builders Index coming out later on today. That was down to 49 going back to August. If you go back a few months before that, we're running in the 70s. So we've seen optimism just completely evaporate in the housing market in the US. And it's expected to come in at 47 for the most recent month. We also get home building permits, August home building permits, August housing starts, August existing home sales, all coming out this week. And home building permits were down 0.6% going back to the month of July, expected to have fallen 4.5% in August. Housing starts had a horrific July. They were down 9.6% month on month. They're expected to be probably flat, but there's a risk they could be weakened again. And existing home sales for the month of August were down 5.9%, hefty fall going back to the month of July, expect to be down about 0.2% in August. So, yeah, some weakness running through the housing sector in the US. And we get the manufacturing and service sector PMIs. These are not the ISM ones, the ones that are more closely monitored these days, but the old style purchasing managers reports for September. The manufacturing PMI was at 51.5, so it's still just about in expansionary territory for that reading. Still expected to come in the expansionary territory around 51.2. But the services sector PMI, which was down at 43.7 going back to August, maybe lifts a little bit to 45, but yeah, that's getting quite soft. These type of PMIs, on the old style PMIs, you need readings for both of those down around 40 to herald a recession. You need it for a few months too. And we're just well north of that at the moment. So we still haven't got readings through these key leading indicators, which suggest that the US is at genuine risk of recession as we go further forward. And we need to get to that point really to slow to reduce the tightness in the labour market until we can say that the Fed's work's done. So we still have a fair bit of pressure going back to the Fed for the time being. In China last week, the data was part expected and part surprising, and there were a few surprises on the high side of expectations. Where it was as expected is that the housing sector, because of the pressure that is running through there on property development companies because of the policy initiatives by President Xi last year, still working its way through there. So August home prices, which were down 0.9% year-on-year going back to July, are now down 1.3% year-on-year and are still weakening. So we've still got a lot of softness running through the property development sector. But the other indicators that came out last week were things such as fixed asset investment spending. This is largely, you know, infrastructure spend running through the local regions, industrial production, retail sales. These all came in better than expected and a little bit better than the month of July as well. So we had fixed asset investment spending lifted a touch to 5.8% year-on-year from 5.7%. Industrial production lifted to 4.2% from 3.8% going back the month before. And retail sales, these are all year-on-year figures, lifted, and this is a surprising one, went up to 5.4% from 2.7%. So just slightly better running through these. It suggests that maybe the Chinese economy, from a very, very weak base running through Q2, it's just starting to show some signs of lifting a little. But set against that, you know, we still hear stories that we've got, you know, sort of close to a fifth of the country which is in lockdowns of one form or another, which is still the way in which they're responding to an Omicron outbreak, which anywhere else around the world would be looked on as being negligible. They're getting about 1,000 cases a day, which is would be very small by our standards on our population, let alone a population of 1.3 billion people. But yeah, this is the way in which they're having to tackle with Omicron when you've got an elderly population which is barely vaccinated, and they're worried about the death rate which would run through there if they allow Omicron Omicron loose. There's no real data coming out of China this week, but moving to Australia, and you know, the data report's still coming in on the strong side here. We had sentiment readings, both the NAB business sentiment and Westpac consumer sentiment. The NAB business conditions, business confidence, business conditions are still running very strong. They were plus 20 going back to July. They held plus 20 for the month of August. So this is largely reflecting that businesses have had incredible profits in many cases in Australia. So, but business confidence had a lift too and went from plus 8 to plus 10. Even business confidence is just showing some signs of lifting. That's notwithstanding the interest rate hikes we've had. And the real surprising one was Westpac consumer sentiment, which after falling over several months had a fairly significant rise for the month of September. It lifted by 3.9%. On top of that, you know, we had the labour force data came out on Thursday, and we're still getting growth running through employment. So employment rose by 33,500. Of that, full-time employment was 58,800. We had a big lift in the participation rate from 66.4 to 66.6%. As a result of that, the unemployment rate actually edged up a notch, but all told, that was very strong data. And we had Phil Lowe speaking to Parliamentary Committee on Friday. And yeah, basically, he's saying the same thing as many other central bankers, that you know, we still got to get on top of this inflation rate that we've got, that the economy essentially is still showing signs of strength in many parts. Yes, housing is going to be a weak casualty of what they have to do on interest rates. But he said some interesting things, and amongst them were that they're probably going to have to get the cash rate to at least 3% over the course of the next few months. And also that over the longer haul, they then have to hold the cash rate at 3% for quite some time. That is a more normal interest rate. So they won't be in a position to really start to think about cutting that pretty much over the longer haul beyond. He also indicated that yes, they are going to be lifting rates again next week. And the only issue is whether they do 25 or 50 basis points. Obviously, if they did 25, they look pretty low by international comparison, given that everywhere else around the world they're doing 50s or 75s. The most recent one to lift by 75 basis points was the Bank of Canada, which now has a cash rate up at 3.25%. I suspect that they'll be leaning more towards the 50 when our cash rate goes up. There's still just about a case that we can get away with a lower cash rate peak here than countries overseas, but it is changing pretty quickly. Because even in the papers this morning, you can see that the pay offer given to National Australia Bank staff of 5%, and they've rejected that and say that they need 6. We really are stepping up in terms of pay claims at the moment and pay increases. And so this means that we may need to do more rather than less. So it's now highly likely that the cash rate peak will be somewhere north of 3% next year. And what I would say is that everywhere it's getting harder and harder to just work out exactly what's keeping inflation as high as it is and why it's still refusing to come down as much as we would like. So, nobody really has a proper hold on exactly how high these official rates are going to have to go to get on top of this cycle. Central banks don't know, and the analysts are just second-guessing central banks who don't know at the moment. And so we're in a very, very difficult position. We really can't quite see the peak of these interest rates just yet. This week, we'll get the RBA minutes, and they'll be talking a lot about this on Tuesday, but otherwise there's not much else of note. Obviously, it's going to be a shortened week with the holidays in nationally on Thursday and extended with Victoria on Friday, so it will be a comparatively quiet week. Out of Europe, we had the ZEW Economic Sentiment Survey came out. This is worsening. It went to minus 60.7 from minus 54.9. And looking ahead, the economies which are most at risk of falling into recession and possibly quite deep recession are those in Europe. And unfortunately, it's the bigger economies which look to be in most trouble, and particularly Germany, because of its reliance on Russian gas. So there will be much weaker economic numbers coming out of Europe, but like everywhere else, they won't be able to use those to say we can put up interest rates less, because they have a big inflation problem. And so we will be seeing some pretty big interest rate increases coming out. And on Thursday this week, we have the Bank of England. They're looking, they did come back to 25 basis points in their going back to their previous policy setting meeting. But that was only because they were fearful of the recession that lay ahead. Now they've been almost forced to go back to doing 50 again, and it looks as if they'll do 50 this week, which will take their cash rate or base rate up to 2.25% from 1.75%. They still have a fair bit more to go. Their most recent inflation rate just dipped underneath 10%, but it's probably not going to stay there. It's going to go back above that as they go further ahead. Just what's coming out of Europe this week, it's largely PMI-style data and also consumer confidence, all for the month of September, and all looking pretty weak. Consumer confidence minus 24.9 on their index. Going back to August, it looks as if it's coming around about minus 26. The manufacturing PMI is below 50. It was a 49.6 going back to August. The expectation is that will fall to 48.8, and the services sector PMI at 49.8, expected to come down to 49.1. So all of these are pointing to weaker economic activity out of Europe as we go ahead. So it's a strange world this week. We've got central banks coming through with the Fed. Now, you know, we've had a fair bit of selling the rumour of what the Fed may do. You know, whatever they do, there's, you know, you might get the dead cat bounce after it, where you get a little bit of buying. But the enormity of what they have to do over the course of the next few months will still weigh on markets over time. So when we're looking at risk asset markets, whenever we get these rallies in this type of environment, when we've still got a great deal of cloud hanging over just how high central banks are going to have to push these interest rates, you treat them as bear market rallies. They're exactly that. You know, it's sort of, and it's going to be that way for quite a while yet.